Hagrid was sitting at his table, where there were two large mugs of tea. He looked a real mess. His face was blotchy, his eyes swollen, and he had gone to the other extreme where his hair was concerned. Far from trying to make it behave, it now looked like a wig of tangled wire. "Hi, Hagrid," said Harry. Hagrid looked up.
"Hello,"
he said in a very hoarse voice.
"More tea, I think," said Dumbledore, closing the door behind Harry, Ron and Hermione, drawing out his wand and twiddling it. A revolving tea-tray appeared in mid-air, along with a plate of cakes. Dumbledore magicked the tray onto the table, and everybody sat down.
There was a slight pause, and then Dumbledore said, "Did you by any chance hear what Miss Granger was shouting, Hagrid?" Hermione went slightly pink, but Dumbledore smiled at her and continued, "Hermione, Harry and Ron still seem to want to know you, judging by the way they were attempting to break down the door."
"Of course we still want to know you," Harry said, staring at Hagrid. "You don't think anything that skeeter cow—" "Sorry, Professor," he added quickly, looking at Dumbledore.
"I have gone temporarily deaf, and haven't any idea what you said, Harry," said Dumbledore, twiddling his thumbs and staring at the ceiling.
"Right," said Harry sheepishly. "I just meant, Hagrid, how could you think we'd care what that woman wrote about you?"
Two fat tears leaked out of Hagrid's beetle-black eyes and fell slowly into his tangled beard.
"Living proof of what I've been telling you, Hagrid," said Dumbledore, still looking carefully up at the ceiling. "I have shown you the letters from the countless parents who remember you from their own days here, telling me in no uncertain terms that if I sacked you, they would have something to say about it."
"Not all of them," said Hagrid, hoarsely. "Not all of them want me to stay."
"Really, Hagrid, if you are holding out for universal popularity, I'm afraid you will be in this cabin for a very long time," said Dumbledore, now peering sternly over his half-moon spectacles. "Not a week has passed since I became headmaster of this school when I haven't had at least one owl complaining about the way I run it. But what should I do? Barricade myself in my study and refuse to talk to anybody?"
You're not half-giant," said Hagrid, croakily.
"Hagrid, look what I've got for relatives," Harry said furiously. "Look at the Dursleys."
"An excellent point," said Professor Dumbledore. "My own brother, Aberforth, was prosecuted for practising inappropriate charms on a goat. It was all over the papers. But did Aberforth hide? No, he did not. He held his head high and went about his business as usual. Of course, I'm not entirely sure he can read, so that may not have been bravery."
"Come back and teach, Hagrid," said Hermione quietly. "Please come back. We really miss you."
Hagrid gulped. More tears leaked out down his cheeks and into his tangled beard. Dumbledore stood up.
"I refuse to accept your resignation, Hagrid, and I expect you back at work on Monday," he said. "You will join me for breakfast at 8:30 in the Great Hall. No excuses. Good afternoon to you all."
Dumbledore left the cabin, pausing only to scratch Fang's ears. When the door had shut behind him, Hagrid began to sob into his dustbin-lid-sized hands. Hermione kept patting his arm, and at last Hagrid looked up, his eyes very red indeed, and said,
"Great man, Dumbledore. Great man."
"Yeah, he is," said Ron. "Can I have one of these cakes, Hagrid?"
"Help yourself," said Hagrid, wiping his eyes on the back of his hand. "He's right, of course. You're all right. I've been stupid. My old dad would have been ashamed of the way I've been behaving."
More tears leaked out, but he wiped them away more forcefully and said,
"Never shown you a picture of my old dad, have I? Here."
Hagrid got up, went over to his dresser, opened a drawer, and pulled out a picture of a short wizard with Hagrid's crinkled black eyes, beaming as he sat on top of Hagrid's shoulder. Hagrid was a good 7 or 8 feet tall, judging by the apple tree beside him, but his face was beardless, young, round and smooth. He looked hardly older than 11.
"That was taken just after I got into Hogwarts," said Hagrid, croakily. "Dad was dead chuffed. Thought I might not be a wizard, see, 'cause me mum... Well, anyway, of course, I never was great shakes at magic, really, but at least he never saw me expelled. Died, see, in my second year. Dumbledore was the one who stuck up for me after Dad went.
got me the gamekeeper job. Trusts people, he does. Gives them second chances. That's what sets him apart from other heads, see? He'll accept anyone at Hogwarts, so long as they've got the talent. Knows people can turn out okay, even if their families weren't, well, all that respectable. But some don't understand that. There's some who'd always hold it against you. There's some who'd even pretend they just had big bones rather than stand up and say, I am what I am, and I'm not ashamed. Never be ashamed, my old dad used to say. There's some who'll hold it against you, but they're not worth bothering with. And he was right. I've been an idiot. I'm not bothering with her no more, I promise you that. Big bones. I'll give her big bones.
Harry, Ron and Hermione looked at each other nervously. Harry would rather have taken 50 blast-ended Scroots for a walk than admit to Hagrid that he had overheard him talking to Madame Maxime, but Hagrid was still talking, apparently unaware that he had said anything odd.
"You know what, Harry?"
he said, looking up from the photograph of his father, his eyes very bright.
"When I first met you, you reminded me of me a bit. Mum and Dad gone, and you was feeling like you wouldn't fit in at Hogwarts, remember? Not sure you were really up to it. And now look at you, Harry. School champion!"
He looked at Harry for a moment, and then said, very seriously,
"You know what I'd love, Harry? I'd love you to win. I really would. It'd show 'em all. You don't have to be pure blood to do it. You don't have to be ashamed of what you are. It'd show 'em Dumbledore's the one who's got it right. Letting anyone in as long as they can do magic. How are you doing with that egg, Harry?"
"Great," said Harry.
"Really great."
Hagrid's miserable face broke into a wide, watery smile.
"That's my boy. You show 'em, Harry. You show 'em. Beat 'em all."
Lying to Hagrid wasn't quite like lying to anyone else. Harry went back to the castle later that afternoon with Ron and Hermione, unable to banish the image of the happy expression on Hagrid's whiskery face as he had imagined Harry winning the tournament. The incomprehensible egg weighed more heavily than ever on Harry's conscience that evening, and by the time he had got into bed, he had made up his mind. It was time to shelve his pride and see if Cedric's hint was worth anything.